glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for January 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we are going to spend time with Drew Dyke, and he is the author of Just Show Up, How Small Acts of Faithfulness Change Everything. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Drew.
Thank you, Donna. And you freaked me out a little bit just by saying 2025. I can't believe it's already 2025.
You know, I had to like double it up there to make sure I said it the right year. So yeah, I'm not really used to that yet. But I don't write any more checks, so I'm not making that mistake. So now it's just a verbal
That's
mistake.
True.
Yeah. Now, you added also onto the title of your book, A Guide for Exhausted Christians. So I'm very curious, really, what was the spark behind the title and the information in this book, Just Show Up?
First of all, it seems like everyone's exhausted these days. I don't know. Since the pandemic, I feel like everyone's a little tired. But really, I was writing to myself, because that's the stage of life I'm in. I've got young kids at home, three kids, busy career, aging parents that I'm starting to take care of a little bit. There's just a lot going on. And, you know, the question for me was, God, how do I be faithful in this season where sometimes I feel like I don't even want to get out of bed, to be honest, because there's so many tasks, so much on my to-do list. And the freeing realization I've come to is that, you know, God doesn't demand perfection, that we do everything, you know, perfectly in our lives, but he just asks that we do the next thing in front of us that he's called us to, and that we just show up for the people around us.
Honestly, we're on a timeline, Drew, so we can't really jump ahead on the timeline, and we can't go back. So it just makes sense. Just be right here where you are. But that's so hard some days.
So hard.
Just to stop myself.
And yet, so freeing, because, I mean, if we could just obey just the one command of Jesus to, you know, give no thought for tomorrow, because every day has enough trouble of its own. Wow, that would save us a ton of heartache, I think, if we could just focus on each day that we're living, rather than jumping into the future, worrying about things, scheming all the time. Man, just try to stay present where you are.
That's so good. You know, a friend of mine lived that out recently. He found himself in a homeless situation, and he did not know where he was going to land up, and that's the verse God gave him. Take no thought for tomorrow. He was moving out of being a caregiver for an elderly couple. They were moving into assisted living. So he was out, but God moved things around because he loved him so much and put him in a safe space. So let's take that word from you, Drew. Take no thought for tomorrow. How does that play out in your life?
Well, you know, there are so many things to worry about, and this is an area in which I struggle. You know, I have some issues with anxiety, and I realize that so often when I'm not doing well with my anxiety, and when I'm worrying too much, it's because I'm focusing, you know, 1 month, 1 year down the road, trying to figure everything out, rather than just kind of giving the reins to God and saying, hey, God, I'm going to obey you today. I'm going to see how it goes today. Focus on what I'm doing. So that's what it looks like in my life. It's really about surrender, of just kind of going, hey, listen, I can't be the master of my fate. I'm not going to control everything. That's God's job. I'm just going to trust him, obey him in the little things that are put in front of me. You know, one of the cruel ironies, too, of thinking too much about the future is often, at least with me, it paralyzes me in the present. And I actually, you know, stop doing the things I should be doing in the day that I'm in. And so just really trusting God, letting go of that control, and just doing the next. Sometimes it's action, too, just taking a step that I feel like he's called me to do that day. Okay, God, what's the next thing in front of me? What would you have me do today?
Now, you devote a whole chapter to the power of plodding. I love that. Plodding. It just sounds a little bit boring, but it's powerful. Plodding, isn't it?
You go online and you see everyone who is seemingly blowing up and doing these big things overnight. I think there's tremendous power in that approach. And the thing with plodding is that, you know, things don't happen maybe immediately, but it's just another word for faithfulness. That if you're just doing the small things, taking those little steps, but you're just doing it consistently. That's the key. I was thinking about the great missionary William Carey, and he has a quote where he said, "You know, I have no great talent, but I can plod." That was his thing, right? And if you look at his life, all that plodding led to a lot of great things that were done for God, and he had tremendous resolve. I think he like preached for 7 years in India before he had one convert, but he just kept going. And that's easier said than done. But I think the key is when we trust God for the outcomes of our life, rather than kind of going, okay, I'm going to try this for a little bit. I'm going to be faithful for this day, this week, this month. And if it doesn't work, I'll change course. But sometimes it's looking at God going, God, I know you'll reward me. I know you see what I'm doing. Even if no one else sees it, I'm going to trust you. And that's what enables us to keep being faithful, to persevere, and to plod.
I love that concept. I've been plodding along, and God is using that whole idea in my life. I think taking vitamins is plodding.
Yeah, that's right.
I really do, because I take the vitamin and nothing happens. Nothing. Like zero. Nothing. Except if it's niacin, and then you get this horrible flush and you feel
that's right,
like
internal red.
Yeah, you have a mega power flush going on. You've got a hot flash. And even men can enjoy if they take the niacin flush. My husband always. I'm like, well, honey, now you know. So, but yeah.
Now vitamins. You know how I feel. That's right. Like eating healthily or exercising.
Yeah.
Any of those things. In fact, you're going to feel worse at first.
You are.
You're not going to see any results for at least, you know, I don't know, weeks or months. And yet we know it's powerful because all that plodding, all that faithfulness, whatever area of life it's in, adds up over time and changes you.
Maybe our listeners are in that plodding stage. They're going, oh, you know, my doctor told me to do this, or I know this is important. I need to get up, not sit in my chair so much and just do a few stretches. But, you know, I don't feel any better. Actually, the same aches are there. So just want to encourage our listeners to keep plodding, my friend, because I've done the right thing and I have reaped the benefits if I stay faithful. So I know it's possible if I keep the stretch and if I keep the exercise going. There is a payoff. It's just not right now. Now, you stress the importance of being physically present with people. Why is that so important? And what do you talk about physically present?
Yeah, I think it's especially important just given the time in which we live, where we're all so connected virtually. And that's good. Thank God for those tools. I mean, we're having a conversation that way right now. And yet, I think that, you know, one thing that the pandemic demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt is that it's not enough to be connected virtually. We all had our phones. Most of us had Wi-Fi and connections. And yet rates of loneliness, anxiety shot through the roof because we need that physical connection. And so, you know, I think of it in concrete terms. If you have a friend or there's someone in your church or a family member who's going through a really difficult time, it's you can, you know, leave a broken heart emoji on their Facebook page or shoot them a text. And that's good. It's better than nothing. But there's nothing better than actually showing up physically, being with them. And, you know, people may or may not remember the words that you give them, but they'll remember one thing with perfect clarity, and that is who was actually there when they were hurting or going through a hard time. I was reading a story about Beethoven, the famous composer, and there was a story where his friend lost his son. And Beethoven, he found conversation difficult and awkward because he was deaf. And yet he went to the man's house. He didn't know what to say, but he goes into the house. He goes into the room where the man is, and he sees a piano over in the corner. And he goes over to the piano, and for half an hour, he just pours out his grief for his friend through music. And the friend later remarked that no other visit had been so meaningful. And I love that story because it just kind of demonstrates that, you know, even if you don't feel like you're the person to help someone when they're going through a hard time, your physical presence is crucial. And I believe that God always puts a piano in the room, some way that we can uniquely bless someone or help them when they're going through a hard time. So yeah, I just want to encourage people, show up for people when it's a question like, should I go or not? Sometimes you think, I don't really have the right words to say. God will help you. God will use just your presence in that moment. And here's the other thing. Usually people don't want your words as much as they want your presence, especially when they're in a hard time, right? Sometimes if you have, you know, some kind of, oh, don't worry, this is all happening for a reason or something. That's not what people want to hear anyway. They want you.
They really do. You talk about a long haul hero. And I say that is so important. It's, you know, easy kind of to be there in the initial loss of a loved one or a crisis, but it's those people who check back in that really keep that in the front of their mind that I want to be there for that person. How can we become someone like that?
Yeah, I think it does demand often being in the same place for a long period of time. And like you said, checking in with people, you know, not letting those connections wither, which is a real challenge, especially in our age of so much moving and disconnection. And yet when I think of the people who've influenced me deeply, and I'm sure most people can think of this too, it's some teacher who was there for them for a long time, maybe someone who gave you piano lessons, a pastor, a friend, someone who over the long haul, you know, built into your life and was there for you at crucial moments. It's usually not some kind of big influencer, famous person. You know, you might have someone that you appreciate that way. And yet when it comes to kind of deeply impacting you, it's usually that person that was there for the long haul. And I just think that's such a good countercultural message that we need today, because we're so big on kind of light touch, you know, online stuff. And yet if you can invest in someone's life, that's what's going to make the difference. And that's exciting too. You know, I talk to a lot of older folks that are in churches where they don't have a lot of young people, or they're worried the young people are going to walk away, and they think, man, we need to hire a cooler pastor, or, you know, maybe get a fog machine or something like that. And I would say, you know what, you may be the answer to your prayers, because what those young people need really, especially these days, is someone to mentor them, to come alongside them, to be a cheerleader, to invite them over and feed them, and just be interested in their life. That's powerful. So there's something that all of us can do, and often the opportunities are right in front of us.
Now, here's the rub. So we want to be that for other people, but sometimes in my world, I was being that for other people, but there really weren't people in my life being that for me. And so, you know, I just didn't have a lot of people filling up my well. But, you know, I found, Drew, that that's the moment when I had to trust the Lord to be the one who was there for me. He had shown up for me, and he continued to show up for me. And it was from that I had to draw in those seasons when there were not people there for me. Interesting enough, you know, I would get to that point like, Lord, you know, I'm doing this for others. We're the people to do it for me. And he would always send. And here is this person I had no concept of that would ever be interested in doing that for me. And it was so impactful. So I had to be very careful not requesting that from the people in my world, not expecting it back from the people I was doing that for, but be open to the Lord providing that for me in very unusual ways.
I love that. And that challenge is real. I was talking to a woman recently who was just expressing grief over the fact that her mother wasn't, you know, that interested in her life, not the kind of typical mother who's like, honey, what are you doing? I want to help you, right? And so there was a hole there, and that's legitimate. That's hard.
It is hard.
And yet she was able to, you know, find some older women that kind of, you know, not completely replaced a mother, of course, but filled that hole in her life. You're right. I think ultimately we need to find that satisfaction in God, turn to him. And like you said, so often he will send the right people along to help us and guide us.
He really does. We can trust in him to fill that need in our life. He knows it better than, you know, anyone else. Maybe you could explain your approach to spiritual disciplines. You say that it's enough just to crack your Bible open every day. Is that aiming too low? What are we going for? Here?
Right. That's, and I've gotten that feedback from some folks like, hey, come on. Shouldn't we do more than just crack a Bible open or say a quick prayer every day? And the answer is absolutely yes. But here's what I've found. For me, at least, and this may be helpful for others or not, and if it isn't, leave it. But I've found that when I have goals that are too lofty, you know, we're in January here, often people are, you know, have this goal to read through the Bible in a year, which is a great goal. And it's a pretty tough one too. I've failed many times at that goal. Or like I was talking to a friend who said, you know, I've been trying to memorize scripture for an hour and a half every day, and I just can't seem to do it. And I almost laughed out loud because the guy, I know his life. He's got four kids. He's got a business. He's got so much going on. I thought, my goodness, that is completely unreal. realistic at your life stage. And so here's what happens to me when my goals are too high and I get really ambitious and I'm going to do all this great stuff, all these spiritual disciplines. What happens is that I fail. Then I get discouraged. And then this is just human psychology. I just kind of go, okay, I'm not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
And my Bible gathers dust on my nightstand. Whereas if I just lower the bar and say, okay, maybe I don't have time today to read scripture for half an hour, but I'm just going to crack it open, maybe read a psalm, and just commit to doing that every day. For one, that actually adds up to a lot of scripture reading over time, even if you're just reading a few verses or a chapter. And then secondly, just the way we're wired, sometimes you get in there and you do have a little more time and you hit a groove and you keep going, and all of a sudden you've read for 20 or 30 minutes. So the key, I think, is just consistency. And, you know, back we were talking about exercise and vitamins. Same principle, right? Yeah. If you do it consistently, even if you only go out and walk 10 minutes a day. And I think the same principle applies to spiritual disciplines. Just getting that nourishment every day, even if it's only a little. And then what will happen is you will establish those patterns and those habits in your life, those rhythms that becomes natural as breathing, so that when you roll out of bed in the morning, maybe you just automatically reach for your Bible instead of your phone. Maybe you just have that prayer time. Oh, it's this time of day. I need to say a few words to God. And then that becomes the basis upon which your spiritual disciplines can grow.
I've actually found that an app on my phone for Bible reading is so impactful, because it just gives me one verse at a time. And so I just think about that one verse. And for some reason, stuff pops so much bigger rather than just looking at, I mean, I do still love to handle the paper, but if, I'm on the go, or it's been very interesting to see how just focusing in on that one verse really makes a difference. So that's good.
That's great.
It's not setting the bar low. It's setting it high, and that we're spending time with God, isn't it? And that
there you go.
That's the goal.
Maybe you start small. Yeah.
Yeah. Start small, and that can be really powerful. God, what is that one verse about He doesn't despise the small things?
Yeah, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And I love that, just because, it applies to so many areas of life. That, yeah, I don't think God looks, and of course, this goes to how we view God, because some people kind of envision God up there with a hammer just ready to smack them if they mess up. I don't think God's like that. I think He sees our even faltering, humble steps to try to approach Him and seek Him, and He smiles, and He builds upon that. And so I think that should be encouraging to us.
Mm. You know, in your book, Just Show Up, you address a trend of people leaving the faith. What advice do you have for someone who maybe feels that their faith is wavering?
A common experience, especially these days, a lot of people refer to it as deconstruction. A lot of people kind of peeling back the layers and going, hey, what is it that I actually believe? And sometimes that's a necessary process. Maybe you've grown up in a subculture where there were a lot of weird things going on, and then you have to kind of go, hey, what is actually biblical? And what was just my culture? But that can be very disorienting, or you just hit a hard time in your life and you find all these doubts coming into your head. And the first thing I'd say is don't freak out, because sometimes you can feel like, man, am I being unfaithful to God? Mm. Am I falling away from the faith because I'm having these thoughts or these doubts? Not at all. Look at Scripture. Some of the most faithful heroes in Scripture had the most profound doubts and accusations toward God even. Don't worry about it. Even explore it. Do your research. But here's the main thing that I like to say to people. Don't stop talking to God throughout the whole process. Because, you know, I think of marriage counselors. They'll tell you that the most dangerous thing in a marriage isn't when you're fighting. In fact, sometimes that could be a sign of life. But the most dangerous thing is when you stop fighting, when the anger hardens into apathy, and you're not even communicating anymore. So I think that's true too when it comes to our relationship with God. If even if you are you know, assailed by doubts and you are not sure exactly what you believe or why you believe what you believe, keep talking to God. And that's the beauty too of what you see in Scripture, the Psalms. There are these angry, you know, accusatory prayers directed toward God. God, will you forget me forever? Where are you? What's going on? And yet they kept talking to God. Keep those lines of communication open. and he will guide you through it.
That's a great word. We're talking with Drew Dyke, and he has written a book called Just Show Up, Being There for Other People. And I think I'm better at showing up for others when I have realized God has shown up for me. And I'm learning how to do self-care. I was not very good at that, you know, in the whole, you know, whirlwind of raising kids and that whole thing. It you know, Donna really was not on the forefront, but I'm doing a better job of it, and I'm a much better Donna for other people when I've got some things figured out in my own life. I know that's going to look different for other people, but honestly, for me, if my house is clean, I'm just mentally freer to be there for you and to, you know, think about serving you and listening to you. But, you know, don't you ever find that, Drew? You just got to have these certain things in order where you feel like, okay, now I've got some margin. I can then do that for other people. What are some of those things in your life?
Yeah, no, that is so true. And I'm gonna risk engaging in a stereotype here, but I think that women are worse at self-care often because, especially the moms, it's like mom eats last, right? I mean, everyone else's needs come before them often.
Yeah.
And whereas, like, I think even in my marriage, you know, I'm definitely better at self-care than my wife. I'm like, I need a nap. I'm going to take a nap. She's like, oh, isn't that lovely? I hope you enjoy yourself. And so I need to probably, you know, focus the other direction a little bit sometimes. But I think you're so right, because if you're empty and you're dry and you're depleted, you don't have anything for others, is the problem. And so it seems sacrificial. And yet at the end of the day, if you get totally burned out, and this applies to people in ministry, this applies to parents, you need to fill up, you need to restore yourself. And so getting those times alone with God are crucial, because those are really restorative. It's not only communing with God, but he's kind of replenishing your resources, and so that you have something for others. So that is an absolutely crucial point, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, it's been a very beneficial conversation, Drew. Again, we're talking with Drew Dyke, the author of Just Show Up, How Small Acts of Faithfulness Can Change Everything. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today on Mark and Friends.
Donna, it's been an absolute delight. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media.